You've probably heard of MOOCs, massive open online courses. They're a craze in education, many affiliated with brick-and-mortar universities and offering free academic courses. But some are different. Udemy, the name is a combination of university and academy, is only 4 years old but already says it has nearly 3 million students in 190 countries. CEO Dennis Yang is with us from KQED in San Francisco. And you say Udemy is a distant cousin of the MOOCs. How so?
So we're a little different in a couple ways. First is our focus is actually more on what we call skill-based development as opposed to more traditional academia. Another difference is we actually, as a platform, we allow any expert, practitioner, faculty member, or industry executive to actually teach in our marketplace. So we actually believe that while there are great instructors and teachers behind the walls of traditional academia, there are also great teachers that are out there in the world as well. And finally, we believe that there should be a sustainable ecosystem for teaching to students around the world. So we actually provide this platform where instructors who teach within our marketplace are able to earn a living off of it.
Well, a couple questions that come up. And again, to just underscore what you've just said, you're not affiliated with the university. You're your own ecosystem, as you just said. You have sort of freelance teachers who come in. And you know there's criticism of MOOCs and online teaching in general. Bob Samuels has written a pretty concise piece for the University of California in which he has a lot of criticisms about online learning. One is that it's who knows what people are learning because there's no professor with eye-to-eye contact with them. But you mentioned your particular model, which doesn't use university professors and doesn't require people to be credentialed. And that's a huge criticism of his, that this whole idea sort of dismantles and loses the value of the expert credentialed educator. Do you worry that your educators are not credentialed?
We do worry about it, but at the end of the day, it's really the student community that decides whether or not an expert is really an expert. And by that, I mean, when you have a marketplace environment where experts are teaching, the students will ultimately vote themselves to determine whether or not a course or a teacher or an instructor is valuable to them.
It's sort of like a crowdsourcing of teaching.
That's right. Yeah. And there are different ways for students to provide that feedback to the marketplace in terms of how they engage in particular courses, the ratings and the reviews. Ultimately, this will decide whether or not a course and instructor is doing well within the marketplace.
Well, why should students be deciding who the better teacher is? Sometimes the best teacher is not the most popular. I mean, that's the oldest truism in the book.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the students have to decide who the best teacher is because they're the ones who ultimately decide where the value is and how the courses provide value to them. So as an example, if I'm taking a course and I'm learning a new skill, if I'm able to get promoted or get a new job based on what I've learned myself, there's value to that.
But why does Udemy charge fees? Explain the fee base for us. We understand fees are actually charged by the course instructor, but why? Most other MOOCs are free.
So that's a great question. So it goes back to the point I made earlier around creating a long-term sustainable ecosystem for both instructors as well as students. So from an instructor standpoint, a lot of instructors will want to teach for intrinsic purposes, just for the sheer love and passion of teaching, but some of them will actually want to make a living off of it as well. And the best way to do that is to, in our opinion, charge the students directly.
Well, and I suppose the reason that they do have to charge is that, again, you're not already an academic institution that is paying these instructors to teach in the brick-and-mortar school.
That's right. So this is a new environment for them to teach in directly to students outside of the traditional education institution.
Well, and we have to address some of that, as you know, on different blogs and websites. Some of your instructors have questioned a shift in the commission policy. They say they give you a commission for each student. That's fair. That's how Udemy runs. But they say that went to 50% and you're taking too much of the money from the teachers.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So what we basically did was we try to align our incentives with our instructors a little bit more closely based on where the students are coming from. So in effect, what we've done today is if an instructor who teaches on Udemy is able to acquire their own students and they bring students to Udemy, they actually keep nearly 100% of whatever profits come from their courses.
So if they bring the student in through whatever, it's advertising or however they do it, they take 100%.
That's right. They effectively keep 97% to be exact. Now, if it's an existing student that's already within the Udemy marketplace and we promote it to them and they find your course and they take it, then we share it 50-50.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, you think that's fair?
We do think it's fair. I mean, we think there's other comparables in the market that benchmark against this.
And what else makes this different? Again, some of the criticism of online education is that younger students in particular might not be paying attention. They might be, you know, surfing the web while they're just putting in the time. There's also no socialization. But we understand that Udemy has a different goal. This isn't about maybe putting in 2 or 4 years to get a certificate of completion. There's something else going on here.
That's right. So our focus, again, is on lifelong learning rather than traditional K-12 or university level teaching. So the world beyond your last formal education is changing so rapidly, primarily because of the way that technology is disrupting both our professional and personal lives. So in a lot of ways, we believe that the expiration date or the half-life of an individual skill set is going down faster than ever before. So people need to constantly learn new things to stay relevant.
What do you say to people? I mean, it's one thing to have someone who just wants to lifelong learn because they want to be sharp, sharp as a tack, and they want to explore, and you offer that for them, and that's terrific. But what do you say to the people who are a little concerned about somebody improving their skills in, oh, say, piloting? You know, in a way that nobody can see them. Nobody can know if they're actually doing the work.
Sure, absolutely. So this goes back to the broader question of how do you actually prove competency once you learn online? Mm-hmm. And in the past, in a professional environment, the best proxy for potential future workplace success would be a degree. Today, there are many, many other ways to actually prove and show competency. If you've worked in technology, marketing, or business, or many other fields, there are a lot of different ways through an interview when you're in a professional environment to actually determine whether or not somebody is fit and ready for a particular role beyond just looking at where did you go to school, you know, a few years ago, 20 years ago. What you've learned in those previous years is certainly important from a foundational perspective, but do you have the skills to do the job today? People have to learn new skills to be ready for those new changes.
Dennis Yang, CEO of the San Francisco-based online education startup Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y. Dennis, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.